Okay, so who are you? What do you do?
My name is Byron Cook, and what do? I work on automatically proving program correctness. So I build tools that take software and then automatically finds a proof of certain properties you might ask of your software.
Absolutely, and that's good. And the gentleman from Harvard gave a talk on that during this 2-day.
Yeah, that's right. So I automate a lot of the reasoning that he was talking about.
Outstanding. So let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, you have to figure out, how do you determine whether or not something is correct? I mean, you have to know, so the developer has to provide some sort of
specification
to you.
Yeah, so for example, so what I've been working on recently is something called Terminator, which is a tool that takes in C programs, so for example, Windows device drivers, and automatically proves that the device driver, when responding to an event will stop responding eventually. Mm-hmm. So you might imagine moving your mouse clicking on the key, and the code that's responding to that event in the machine needs to eventually stop responding to that event. otherwise, the machine will hang.
Interesting.
And so that's something that's required. So the operating system manufacturer, Microsoft, requires of the companies who are writing device drivers, they require that the device driver should eventually stop responding to events. But it's not something we've known. So often when Windows hangs, it's because Windows device drivers are responding to an event forever.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the question I'd ask is, how do you, when you have software that's interacting and dependent on other software, how is your tool? So your tool is a pre runtime, obviously, when you're writing code, compile time, right? And so a lot of errors happen at runtime.
Right.
So how does you, let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, for example, the event story that you just mentioned. Right.
So the proof has to be sound with respect to all possible events that might happen. So you take the software and you consider all possible environments, and then you use proof techniques which consider all possible cases. If you're calling some other code that you don't own, then the proof, or you don't know what that code is, then you have to consider what any possible answer that code might return.
Wow. That's
so how it's done is that you don't actually consider all possible cases explicitly. You don't say, I mean, the answers typically could be an infinite number of answers back. Mm-hmm. So you don't actually consider them, right? What you actually do is you find a finite abstraction of your program. So your program is typically something that could have could be in an infinite number of states. So you don't want to consider all possible states because you'll never come up with an answer. So what you do is you find a finite over-approximation of all possible states, and then you consider all of the elements in the finite set.
Interesting. Now, so your tools, for example, you mentioned C, so it's mainly for imperative languages, mm-hmm. not things that don't consider side effects like functional programming.
Yeah, I'm interested mostly in making C programming easier, imperative programming easier.
Cool, so that, you know, things don't blue screen or hang.
Exactly, yeah.
And typically that's the problem, right? Because it's crashing in kernel mode, and sorry.
Yeah, so what I worked on before, so I used to work in Microsoft Redmond, when I worked on there was something called SLAM, which is a tool that takes in C code and proves properties, the safety properties, so it proves that bad things don't happen.
Excellent.
And then now Terminator has the same goal, except to prove that good things eventually happen, like termination. Or, for example, if you call some function, then you want to eventually call some other function. That's what the proof is. So the work I did in Redmond was to make sure that Windows doesn't crash, and now it's to make sure that Windows doesn't hang.
Excellent. Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. So, clearly this is incredibly challenging given how much code you're dealing with, mm-hmm. right? I mean, and all the dependencies of a giant system.
Usually, the size of code we look at is somewhere between 10 to 30, 40,000 lines of code.
Okay.
So, that's not too bad, actually.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you're proving that the proof of a device driver that all of its dispatch routines, typically they're like 10 dispatch routines, mm-hmm. and so that's like 800, 900 lines of code. So really I only have to prove termination of 800, 900 lines of code, And then all of the other code is abstracted away. So the proof is robust with respect to what's going on in the environment.
Excellent. So there's no proof that could be run when Windows was compiled.
If you wanted to prove that Windows always stayed up, always, then you would need to prove that every routine that was responding to an event would always eventually terminate. So you could actually stitch together proof of all of Windows if you wanted to, but it would be quite laborsome. So that's actually, before coming to Microsoft, I worked on automatically proving correctness of circuits, and that's what happens, for example, on Intel, is that they'll prove properties of the different units and then stitch together a proof, typically by hand, that the entire microprocessor is correct.
Excellent. So now, is this proofing strategy relatively new to software?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. So people have proposed automatically proving correctness of software for years. So since the invention of software, and for very, very small programs, people have done it for a long time. But there have been a number of advances in like the past 5 years that now allow us to actually prove correctness of software of sort of substantial size.
Interesting. And so what does this look like? Let's talk a little bit about the anatomy of one of these proofs. I
mean, okay.
What exactly are you doing? Like, is it, what so, language are you writing it in? What is it? Is it math? I mean, clearly it's mathematical, logical.
So you can think of, so a program you can think of as a mathematical object, right? You can think of it as a gigantic graph, like an infinite graph, and you can think of and it's a graph where each node in the graph are the program's states, and then you can think of the program itself, like the code, as the transition relation from one state to another state. And so we're thinking of the transition relation as a mathematical thing, and then doing proofs about properties of that mathematical thing. And so that the anatomy of the termination proof, for example, is that we construct an initial termination argument. We try and prove that termination argument holds. Typically fails. We typically get a counterexample back. We analyze the counterexample and figure out what it is we need to add to the termination argument, and then recheck the termination argument. And we do that again and again and hope we find a termination argument.
Interesting.
And then along the way, we might actually find a counterexample that we can't prove is false, and so therefore we hand it back to the user. And so now the user can step through the code and determine if it's a real bug or not.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, is there any, I mean, does it make sense to have the concept of proving in a runtime context? So,
yeah.
Like, prove that this running process, you know, will eventually end or something.
So the question is, should I prove the termination of my program now or when it's running? And actually, that's something that we're beginning to work on now, where we are creating a runtime environment for code that you've never seen. Like, it's just some library you're calling into, but you would want to call this code in this runtime that actually would construct a proof of termination during the program's execution.
Nice.
So it would look at the execution that the program that so you call into some code you don't know, and. But you call it in this sort of sandbox environment, such that the runtime will watch what the code is doing, and if it finds that the code is stuck in an infinite loop, then it would raise an exception.
Nice.
Right. So that's not happening now, but I could see that happening in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it could be in a runtime, you know, similar to like the CLR or some kind of runtime like that.
Right. Imagine that you have a web browser and you install some plugin, so Flash or
Silverlight,
something. But you don't trust that plugin isn't going to cause your browser to hang.
Sure.
Right? And this happens to me when I install some plugin; suddenly the browser hangs.
Absolutely.
So if that was happening, then you could imagine now running that plugin in this sandboxed environment. So it might run slower, it will for sure run slower, but then in a separate thread, the termination proof is happening while the program executes, and then would raise an exception, and then the, the browser should stop and say, well, it looks like your plugins has a termination bug in it.
That's excellent. Uh-huh. And then that information could be sent to the person who wrote it, huh? Maybe a stack or something?
Yeah, so you're right. That's right. So that's actually an interesting thing about today. Mm-hmm. Like when a device driver hangs, Windows doesn't crash. So eventually what you do is you reset your machine. But we actually don't hear about those. Mm. Right? So it's only when Windows crashes that Microsoft hears about the problem, right? When it puts up this dialog box asking if you'd like to tell Microsoft more about this. So that's actually been a huge problem for termination bugs in code, is that you don't find out what's happened. Right? Mm. So this you could in this future you can envision now us being able to find many, many termination bugs that have been hanging around in the system for quite a while.
Absolutely. In fact, I had one of those this morning.
Right, yeah.
And no information whatsoever. Just I had to restart.
Yeah.
And that probably had something to do with all the things I had running at the same time,
right.
Like converting one of these MPEG-2s to WMV and
right.
doing three or four other things in the morning.
Yeah.
But that was an interesting one. I mean, it really is an important point.
Yeah.
When the system crashes, comes up and says,
great.
Hey,
yeah.
And especially Vista, because Vista stores an incredible amount of telemetry, right?
Right.
And it's really interesting that, you know, to talk, what you're doing is actually going to be find bugs that might have been in the system since the 80s or 90s.
Yeah, right.
That just only show up once in a while. That's really cool.
Yeah. So we found, I think, 5 or 6 termination bugs thus far in the Windows sample drivers, which are the drivers that we give out to everyone else and say, if you want to write a driver, then one way to do it is to base your code on this code. So, and many of those drivers have been around since 95 or 96.
Wow. That's awesome that you found this. Yeah. Very cool. So what, you know, give us a little bit more. So you started in Windows. I mean, so you started in the mothership.
Yeah.
And then came to research. I mean, that's an interesting transition.
So in Redmond, I had essentially a joint position where I had an office in Microsoft Research and an office in the kernel team.
Okay.
And I helped to develop this tool, SLAM. And then when it got to the point where SLAM was, where there was no more research to be done on SLAM, then I decided to move to Europe. So then I came to this lab.
Nice.
And on my first week in this lab, my machine hung 3 times.
Huh.
And Turing, who proved the undecidability of proving termination, was here. And also there's some recent results about methods of proving termination that use something called Ramsey's theorem, which Ramsey was also in Cambridge, and so I figured it was some sort of Cambridge connection to work on termination. So then that's when I started working on termination.
Excellent.
And that was 3 years ago. And it turns out that actually to prove termination, you need to have a really good understanding of data structures and be able to prove properties of data structures. So as another project I have is something called Slayer, which proves properties about the data structures that programs construct.
So interesting. Mm. Like, what's an example of
So for example, something you see quite commonly in device drivers is you'll see cyclic doubly linked lists. Mm. Where perhaps each node in the cyclic doubly linked list has a pointer to another, maybe singly linked list, where they have a pointer back to the start. Mm. And then you look at code and you'll just see them dereferencing pointers and walking over structures. And the question is, for example, that code that's walking over the structure, will that terminate? So the question is converted into, as a precondition to that code, is the data structure a well-formed cyclic doubly linked list or not? Mm-hmm. Right? Because if you have code that's thinking it's going to see a doubly linked a cyclic list, but it's not, mm-hmm. then you're never going to terminate.
Interesting.
Right? So that's the sort of thing you need.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that there are quite a few people in England who work on something called their spatial logics, which help you describe data structures, and in particular one called separation logic. And so here in England, then I've had quite good collaborations with people who've helped me build those sorts of tools.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. Well, really cool. Good to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Glad to hear that hangs are going to be a thing of the past,
right.
perhaps,
yeah.
At least for device drivers.
Right.
I mean, but you know, that does beg the question, of course. I mean, your code doesn't necessarily just, I mean, it only cares about the code is C.
C, yeah.
So, you know, and applications are written in C.
You can imagine building an analogous tool for C sharp, or you can imagine building an analogous tool for just executables.
Mm.
So people are working on methods of automatically proving correctness of just executables, not looking at the source level. And so you could build a terminator for executables. It would be a lot more work, but you could do it. So presumably in the future, someone will build an executable termination provers for executable programs. So,
excellent. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good luck with the research.
Thanks.
And thank you for your time.
Okay, thanks.